Here's what happened this morning with Stacey and Clayton.
Yesterday, we were talking about how some people like using actual highway numbers, like, oh yeah, take Highway 5 or
south for 6 kilometers.
Take Highway 7, right? Most people, though, they're using, yeah, take the Rosetown Highway. Yeah, take the Outlook Highway. Take the Humboldt Highway. They use towns instead of the numbers.
Much easier.
Much easier. In the city, a lot of people do that as well. Yeah, it's kind of by ACT Arena. That's kind of by Karen's Field. You know, they use like sports landmarks. At least I use sports landmarks.
I use food landmarks.
There you go.
Which should come as no surprise.
There is one issue with this, though. My sister, when she was in high school, this happened to her. This is a true story.
I love
and
this.
And it actually happened to Erica on our Facebook page as well. It's happened to more than one person. They were going to an Acreage party in high school or something, and the directions said, take the bigger highway. Because
I love it.
There's a town called Bigger. It's 40 minutes away. Great town, by the way. My sister thought she meant like the bigger highway, like B-I-G-G-E-R.
Yeah.
So they looked at a map of Saskatoon and they're like, okay, what's the biggest highway? Like, what's the widest highway? What's the long? What's the biggest highway? So they decided that the Battleford Highway, the highway out, like
there
Highway 16 north there, that was the biggest highway because it was double lane and it went all the way.
Oh, man.
So that was the bigger highway. And the exact same thing happened to Erica on our Facebook page. They're like, oh, we didn't know there was a big highway that went out to Rosetown.
What makes it so big? Why?
So, yeah, just a heads up. If you do like using that, you use the Outlook Melford Highway thing, don't use it for bigger. I wrote some Saskatchewan storm rules yesterday.
Okay.
Happens 2-3 times a year, big storm.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we're always panicked, not prepared. These rules, they'll help us out, okay? Number one, if you get delivery, you get lazy, you don't want to cook, you're like, oh, it's a storm, please tip your delivery person well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking like 30%, okay? Now, they're driving, they're risking their life in the snow so you can get an extra large pepperoni pizza. You can give them a $5 or a $10 bill, okay? Your laziness costs some money here, all right? Tip your delivery people, I think we can agree that, right?
I think so, yeah.
Or just cook. No road rage allowed during a storm.
Oh, man.
We're all in this together, right?
It's true, but can I also just say don't do stupid things then on the roads?
So what classifies as stupid things on the roads?
Speeding in poor conditions.
So as long as it's not like, oh, the people going so slow.
No, that's fine.
I'd way rather have the slow people than the too fast people. I know some people are punching their steering wheel right now, but still, as Phil Dunphy from Modern Family would say, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. So road rage, not allowed in a storm. calories don't count during a storm, right?
Sure.
Eat 7
like
grilled cheese sandwiches. Calories don't count. Don't worry about calories. Eating healthy doesn't count during a storm. Play crib. The game crib is 10 times more fun during a storm. That's a scientific fact.
Really?
I don't know why.
At the math, though.
Huh?
At the math with crib.
You can just lie. No one checks. 15-2, 15-4, and a pair is 6.
12.
Oh, and a run. 8, 9, 10. Here we go. No one checks. Just say 15 a bunch when you're playing crib. You'll be fine. But seriously, crib, way funner. Way more fun. During a storm.
Ooh, good
we
catch.
Know our grammar. We're broadcasters. Also, a pair of Sorel boots are mandatory in a household. Every household must have one pair of those giant floppy, they're usually white in color, Sorel boots.
And they're usually from 1987.
That's a new pair right there of Sorel boots.
And now it's time for another edition of That One Friend.
We all have that one friend who crochets a lot. It's not a once a month or once a week thing with this friend. No, it's a once an hour kind of thing.
Now, this is specifically for the crocheters. To those of you who knit, you'll get your day. The next few minutes are set aside for the one needle bandits.
Everyone, and I mean everyone, likes the crochet friend. Mainly because they are constantly making things for you. They'll just knock on your door on a random Saturday. Hey, I made you this teapot cozy. And 12 dishcloths. And some oven mitts. And some normal mitts.
You know those grandmas from Happy Gilmore? The ones making the quilts?
My fingers hurt.
What's that?
My fingers hurt.
You'll never hear this friend saying that. They're a crocheting machine.
This is handmade quality shit we're talking here.
They might even be taking finger or wrist steroids. We don't know.
Whenever the crochet friend doesn't want to do something, they always have an out. Sorry, guys, I can't play Monopoly. I gotta finish this scarf for Greg. And everyone is like, oh yeah, totally fine. You do you.
Sometimes you forget this friend is even in the room because they've been crocheting in the corner in silence for so long. And then you trip over their giant bag full of yarn. It's like, oh, Denise, you're still here. Sorry.
At times, it can be stressful being the crochet friend because they always overpromise. Every crochet friend has like 17 projects on the go. Ah, I gotta finish Greg's scarf, Grandma's sweater, oh, and Freddie's mitts today. And I've got those 5 blankets for the Jennings family. Oh, Dave's onesie. I'm only halfway done that. Why did I agree to do that?
Fun quirk about the crochet friend, they have one fabric or yarn store they hate with a passion, and they'll tell you about it. Yeah, if you ever need yarn, do not go to Crochet Corner. It is cheap garbage, and honestly, they're a bunch of b****s. You can tell them I said that.
The crocheter, we all have that one friend.
When it comes to the generational age descriptions, right, there's boomers, there is Generation X and millennials, and then rounding out the lower end, Gen Z, which, by the way, ages 9 to 24.
You forgot about D-Generation X. No?
D-Generation X?
Wrestling? DX? Shawn Michaels? Triple H?
No.
A couple people got that. No worries.
Okay. But listen to this. The Gen Z group, the youngest ones, the little punks between the ages of 9 and 24, have been doling out some pretty harsh criticisms on social media. First of all, it was that skinny jeans are no longer in fashion.
Good.
And I don't know, for some people, maybe they don't wear them, but like skinny jeans have made up my wardrobe for the last, I don't know, 5 years, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a skinny jeans guy, to be honest with you.
And you know what? For a lot of guys, maybe not, but that's fine. So Gen Z came out and said, yeah, skinny jeans, no more. And then Gen Z's came out and said side parts on women. What the word they're using too, by the way, is chuggy. And we talked about chuggy, which is a word that's like overdone, out of style, and lame,
You know what's chuggy? The word chuggy.
Exactly.
That's what's chuggy.
So after the side parts, now what they're going after is the color blonde. Blonde hair has become chuggy and untrendy. And I just want to say, like, what if you're born with blonde hair?
Right.
And they're like, ew, blonde hair is so chuggy. Well, I was born this way. Deal with it.
Right. People suck. I think that's the moral of this story, right?
Nothing else better to do than be like, hey, actually, you know what? Left-handed, chuggy.
Also, like, what's the age group of Gen Z? 9 to 24? Who cares? Who cares?
I don't want to be rude, but seriously, shut up.
I don't know if you remember being 10 years old, but I wasn't smart when I was 10.
And as if I was
an idiot when I was 10.
Gonna be exactly like when I was 20 even, giving out criticism on what's trendy? No.
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 Good try, Gen Z. Good try. Whoop. Whoop. Why do we always do that when we're walking on ice, too? Whoop. Whoop.
Because you somehow have the hope that by doing that, it's going to help you maintain your balance.
Right? Why?
Which it doesn't do.
Whoop. Whoop. I don't know why we do that. Speaking of the storm, we made some storm rules for Saskatchewan. Check out Cruz's Facebook page. Basically, it's no road rage allowed, calories don't count, play crib, break out the Sorel boots. One rule, though, that we have that I'm still on the fence about, tipping your delivery driver. Now, I'm not on the fence about tipping the delivery driver during a storm. If you order a pizza or Chinese food or whatever, you're ordering some delivery during a storm like we had yesterday, you better be tipping your delivery driver like 30, 40%. I think it's kind of a greasy move to order takeout during a blizzard. I think it's just, come on, make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that night. Like, make two if you're still a bit hungry. But don't let someone be driving in these dangerous conditions for a medium meat lover's pizza. Really? Come on. Then I started thinking about it. what if delivery drivers actually look forward to storms because they know they're going to make huge money because everyone's tipping?
Yeah.
So what do you, like, if you are a delivery driver, please let us know what side you're on. 938-0963, call or text. Because I don't know, like, would they not want to be driving around on the roads, or would they want to be because that means more money?
It's probably like a double-edged sword where it's like, man, these conditions are the worst. I hate this, but the money, you know, where it kind of balances each other out, maybe.
It could be a lose-lose where someone doesn't tip well. They stiff you.
Well, see, that's the thing.
See, don't do that. If it's a storm, you got to have some self-awareness. It's not a you-do-you situation here. That's one of our favorite phrases here on Cruise Mornings. You do you. No, you don't do you if you're a bad tipper. You tip at least 20% if it's a bad storm.
I would think so, because it's treacherous conditions. Mm-hmm. Traffic's horrible.
They earn that tip.
Yeah.
It's not like they were 45. Again, and even if they're late, you still tip them because it's so bad outside.
I do have to say, though, that ordering food in a storm, sometimes, like, what if you had no food at home? On the way home, you had no time to stop at the grocery store. Sometimes you do have to just, you know, bite the bullet and order some food.
See, I sent out the tweet yesterday. Hey, tip your delivery drivers. And everyone was like, don't even get delivery. How dare you tell people to get delivery? Why would you do that, Clayton?
It's a service that's there for us to use.
Well, that's just a lesson on Twitter for you. No matter what you tweet out, people will hate you. No matter what. We got a call from Anthony right after that talk.
Yeah, I just skipped part-time and no chance in hell I was going out last night. Let's be real. People in the city are garbage at tipping.
Yeah, that's true.
Because with Skip, you can accept your orders, like whatever order you want. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. But you got to say over a certain percent of deliveries accepted in order to make a certain amount per delivery.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes you just have to do it because you're like, the trip isn't even worth it. But if I don't take it, then my delivery rate goes down. And, like, sometimes you drive, like, 20 kilometers for $6.
There are so many of those little fine print things for Skip drivers, Uber Eats drivers, where it's like, if you don't do this, you don't get paid. You don't do this. Like, it's just like being a server, cashing out to the kitchen, tipping out to the wait staff and stuff like that. Like, there's those little things that people, if you're not in the industry, you don't know about.
Well, and that's the thing is, that's what you hope people would take into account when they do place an order and, you know, are deciding to tip somebody. Just think of the actual nitty gritty.
And he said that there are some drivers that look forward to storms, look forward to this bad weather, because it usually means like 20%, 25% tips, because people do tip a lot during a storm. So some people love it. Some people hate it. Just depends on the other drivers on the road. You might be confident in the winter. Doesn't really stop someone from rear-ending you, right?
Exactly. So
that's the thing. We got a text from, he's Batman on our text system.
Mm-hmm.
We name people on our text system. This guy's Batman. He's a courier driver, and he says it's a lose-lose situation because he has to deliver things, but no one tips their courier driver.
Ah.
You only tip your food delivery driver. So he's like, please, maybe say to tip your courier driver. So yeah, tip your courier driver, guys. Tip your courier driver.
Or just, you know what? Take one of those moments and be like, hey, you know what? Thanks for what you're doing today. Mm-hmm. In this particular situation, you're a champ.
You have no idea how much a thank you can mean to someone.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe they're having the worst 8 hours of their life, and that little, you're appreciated, thank you, goes a long way. Start throwing out thank yous like you're Johnny Appleseed.
One thing to try to remember is that delivery drivers, freight drivers, what have you, go through that kind of stuff on a daily basis to bring things to us that we need for our daily life, whether it's toothpaste and toothbrushes, Starbucks coffee, that sort of thing. They do that every single day, and they don't get tipped either. It's a job. That's what they do. And honestly, we're very thankful for them, and we can't imagine how nuts it is on the roads in these kind of times. So kudos to you, truck driver Brian.
A less serious kudos to the Canadian men's soccer team.
Johnson has a strike. Cucho spills.
Wait for it. I think that's a new, like, Sidney Crosby, the golden goal. I think that's a new, oh, Canada, oh, baby. I think that's another broadcast legendary moment there. A lot of people are already saying this is a Canadian heritage moment. Some people have already done the Photoshop and just put the picture of them celebrating in the snow on top of old Canadian heritage moments.
Nice.
That was the best celebration. After the second goal, when the boys are jumping in the snow, throwing it around.
That clip where the guy comes in to run for the celebration and misses the girl. group and then falls in the snow. That's
it's
great.
Just, like the crowd in Edmonton, like there was like 50,000 people there. They were rowdy.
Well, and it's weather in Edmonton yesterday was garbage.
It was bad.
But it cleared up just in time for the game. It was pretty amazing.
And I'm kind of like, I've been saying it all morning. I got soccer fever.
There's a lot of soccer that you can watch.
I know.
Just so you know.
I know, but
you want Canada Cup soccer. Or not Canada Cup, but
it's kind of like baseball for me. I'm a big baseball guy, but I can't watch just Brewers versus Rockies. The Jays need to be involved. Like, the Jays are my team, so I need the Jays to be involved. For soccer, I need Canada to be involved. I need to be, like, invested in it a little bit.
Bandwagon jumper.
When it comes to soccer, yes. I'm a little bit of a bandwagon. Everyone should. Whatever.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter the sport. If Canada's playing, you should be cheering for them. Canadian badminton? Oh, if they're in the finals.
On that bandwagon.
Stacey and Clayton, weekday morning, 6 to 10 on Cruise.